going to read two passages from the book of Acts. The first is Acts 3, 1 to 16. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant, Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." The next reading is Acts 4, 5 to 12. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word.
You heard testimonies tonight of people saying that Jesus had touched them. So I'm trying to explain to you what Jesus is doing. There are testimonies online. There may be more, Pastor Scott. If there are, you can share them a little later on. But people talking about hands that had not been moving properly now moving, or nerve endings being released. You heard, they weren't my testimonies. They were the testimonies of people in this room, people online. That's because in the readings that you heard, there's a statement that Peter makes in Acts chapter 4. He is pulled in front of the religious council because the man that couldn't walk was walking. And they want to know why that has happened. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the summary verse, if you like, or the summary statement, for what has happened is Peter saying this, there is no other name under heaven given amongst men or between mortals by which we must be saved. Now, the word that is used for saved there is a very simple, straightforward word. It doesn't just mean spiritually rescued. It means healed. It means set free. And Peter's answer to this Jewish council is so clear, so simple, the church has made it very complicated for 2,000 years. He says there's only one name that can set people free, and that is Jesus. There is no other name. There is no other route. There's no other person that can intervene and change a person's life in the way that Jesus can. That is not a slogan. That's not Peter writing a sermon. That is a spiritual reality that he is declaring that they witnessed when that man who couldn't walk got up. So the people that have received a touch from the Lord tonight have not experienced a slogan. They have experienced a person, and his name is Jesus. It's not magic. It's not some kind of clairvoyancy. It's not some kind of manufactured environment. If I wanted to manufacture the environment, I would try much harder. We would have lots of things going on to make you feel different, and we'd have lots of kind of changes. All we're doing is a group of people in a room allowing Jesus to be Jesus. And Jesus changes people's lives. This city is broken. And there are families in our city that are broken. There are families in the streets outside of this building that are broken. And what will heal them is not simply more money or more access to education or better taxation, whatever that's going to look like in a couple of weeks. What will heal them, what will set them free, is the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We are a Pentecostal church. We are not a nostalgia church. We are not trying to live in the nostalgia of 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 30 years ago or 100 years ago. I love what God has done in this church for 100 years, but I wasn't alive 100 years ago. I'm alive now. And the power of the Holy Spirit is present now because Jesus has never left us. The name of Jesus is the name that heals. In Acts chapter 3, the first part of the reading that you heard from verses 1 to 10, Peter and James go to see a man at a gate who cannot walk. And the Bible says he has been lame from birth. He has not been able to move or walk since he was born. And he asks them for money. And they don't have any. So Peter says to him, I don't have money. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he looks intently at the man. You didn't see me, but when I was praying with Iman, I said, open your eyes and look at me, Iman. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he says, walk. And the man begins to walk. And everybody is amazed at what they've seen. But the truth is that the name of Jesus carries authority because of who Jesus is. His name carries power because he paid for our sins at the cross. But you will know as well as I do, if you know the New Testament, that he healed people before he died. He was healing people all the way through his public ministry because Jesus carries that power because of who he is. He is the Son of God, sinless and perfect, and he came for that purpose. When he opened his ministry in the Nazareth synagogue, he picked a scroll out of the wall and he read from the prophet Isaiah. And he said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord has anointed me because the Lord has appointed me to preach good news to the poor, freedom to the captives, sight to the blind, and the year of the Lord's favor. And throughout his ministry, he healed people. He healed people who couldn't hear. He healed people who couldn't see. He healed people who couldn't walk. He healed people who couldn't speak. He healed people who had died. He brought them back from the dead. He set people free from evil powers and demonic control. He calmed storms. Jesus enabled people who had been carried in beds all their lives to rise up and walk. He forgave sin. There is power in the name of Jesus. Healing is not in his eloquence. It was in his essence. People were healed where Jesus was because that's what Jesus does. At the very core of his being, he is a healer. So that means if Jesus is here, that essence is still the same. One of the people that wrote in the Bible wrote a book called the Book of Hebrews. And here's what they said about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 13. He is Jesus Christ. Listen, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Jesus that walks the pages of the New Testament is walking this church tonight. He's walking online with you. He's walking up and down the rows. Now, don't forget, you can come and get prayer if you want to. Often when you ask some people that at the beginning of a service, they get so engrossed in listening to you, they forget. Jesus is here. It's not strange to expect him to heal. It's not strange to believe that he can heal. It's not weird to think that the one that made you can remake you. He is here. Listen, I'm not apologizing for the miraculous. I'm not going to hide it in a corner somewhere. We're a church of the miraculous. We believe in the miraculous. We expect the miraculous. We are looking for the miraculous. We are expecting the miraculous. We are welcoming the miraculous. We're not going to pretend that we're embarrassed by it. If London can't cope with the miraculous, that's fine. I'm not apologizing for Jesus. He has always been able to set people free, and he's able to set people free here tonight. I am not standing in front of you as a frightened or anxious man. I'm standing in front of you as a man that is filled with the power of the resurrected Jesus. And the people that are sitting around you who love Jesus are not afraid to share the good news of who Jesus is with you. He set people free in his earthly ministry, and he is setting people free now. Here's my question. Why do we so often settle for sympathy instead of spirit? Why do we settle for tea and sympathy instead of the spirit breaking in? Allowing God to come by his power. When I came to the blue carpet tonight, before we began, I could sense the nervousness. The room was like, ooh, what's going to happen? Well, I don't know. But I'm not going to be anxious about standing in front of you. That man came to Peter and John, Peter and John came to that man, actually. He didn't come to them. And he expected coins. God gave him legs. Listen, Christians, stop giving people what they expect and start giving them what they need. Let's start offering London not what it expects, platitudes from pulpits. Let's offer this city the power of the living God. Let's start to speak out over this city and over the nations of the earth, the resurrection power of Jesus. Jesus' name is not only a name that heals, it's a name that saves. In verses 11 to 16 of the same story, Peter is challenged by what has happened. He has to explain it to the people around him. Listen to what he says in verse 16. It couldn't be clearer. By faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him this, are you listening? Perfect health in the presence of you all. That word that is translated there as perfect health doesn't exist anywhere else in the New Testament. Peter says, you want to know how he walked? Jesus did that. You want to know how I accessed that? Through who Jesus is. You want to know how that man's life was changed? By the power of Jesus. He couldn't be clearer. In the name of Jesus. Now that is not a slogan. You know, sometimes you can have meetings and you can hear people praying or prophesying and they shout at the top of their voice, in the name of Jesus. That's not what this means. The phrase in the name of Jesus means in the authority that Jesus carries, in the anointing that Jesus has, in the accomplishments that Jesus has secured, in the victory that Jesus has won, in the life that Jesus lived, in the cross where Jesus died, in the empty tomb where Jesus rose again, in the power of the Spirit that Jesus poured out, there is power. There was on the day of Pentecost, there was just a few days after the day of Pentecost, and there is tonight. Perfect health. So often we hear Christians apologizing for healing, explaining it away. But salvation is not a concept. Healing is not an idea. Salvation is a person. His name is Jesus. He is the doorway to the hope that you need. He is the doorway to your strength. He is the doorway to your healing. He is the doorway to all that you need. And he is here. The master is here. Churches often tell you to try harder, to believe harder. Jesus says, come closer. Come closer. There's power in him. See, you can touch me and not receive healing. If you touch the Jesus that is in me, you will. Jesus is here. I want to encourage you to reach out and touch him. Tonight, I am not trying to please you as a crowd. I'm not trying to please you online. I'm not preaching a message to make you feel good. I'm preaching Jesus, risen, exalted, life-giving, saving, healing, and delivering Jesus. There's no power in our programs. There's no power just in having a service for its own sake. There's only power in our gathering if Jesus is here. There's only power in this gathering if Jesus is here. But Jesus is here. And he's here by the power of his Holy Spirit, a name that heals and a name that saves. But he's also a name that confronts. You see, in the next part of the story that you heard read tonight, Acts chapter 4, after Jesus has healed the man at the gate, and the people around the gate have said, what's going on? And Peter has explained. Peter and John get arrested, and they get trailed before the ruling authorities, who would rather have the man sick and their security protected than have the man healed and their security threatened. They're not interested in the message of the gospel. They're not interested in the poor or the broken. They're not interested in people who need to know the love of Jesus or the love of God even. All they're interested in is keeping control. That's what religion does. They ask Peter and John a question in verse 7. By what power, or by what name did you do this? You see, they can't question the this. By what power or by what name did you do this? That's the moment when Peter has the option of a get out clause. By my own power and my own name. After all, it was me that touched him. And he says in verse 10, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Right across this story, it's the name of Jesus, 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 the name of Jesus. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but he doesn't end there, whom you crucified. Confrontational moment. Whom God raised from the dead. That's what verse 10 says. The God that you've killed is the God that is alive and healed him. The God that you think can't do it is the God that brought you here to tell you that he can. The God that you've written off is the God that is here. The God that I crucified was the God that saved me. The God that I condemned to the cross, the Savior that I rejected, is the one that died for me and rose up and then came to me and said, are you still going to reject me? And I had to say, no, I don't reject you. I now accept you. I come to you. I cling to you. I ask you to touch me. There's a truth there that I don't want you to miss. The name of Jesus is not politically correct, but it is prophetically confrontational. Now, verse 7 is where they ask the question, by whose name and in what power did you do this? Verse 10 is where he gives the answer, in the power of the name of Jesus, whom you crucified and God raised from the dead. Verse 8 is the linchpin. Here's what it says. Verse 7, by what power and in whose name did you do this? Verse 7. Verse 8, Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, said to them, why is it that men and women can preach and preach and preach and nothing change in people's lives? Because they need the power of the Spirit to do that. It's only the power of the Spirit resting on a person can bring about that change and that transformation. So people have already reported here tonight being touched, being impacted, being ministered to, receiving healing. That means that God's here. By his Spirit, it means he's online. He's touching and changing lives. We must not dilute the name of Jesus. We must not hide the name of Jesus. We must not try to be popular. We've got to be prophetic and clear. There is salvation in no one else. I'm not presenting you an arrogant savior. I'm calling you to allegiance to Jesus. What else do we have? What else can I give London? What else can we give London? The entertainment's better in the movies or in the West End. The buildings are better. The toilets are definitely better. Everywhere else you can find something else. But the church is where you should find Jesus. A church like this is where people should find Jesus, because that's all we've got to give London. That's all I've got to give the world. That's all you and I have got to give the world. We've only got Jesus. We don't have a plan B. We don't have a plan C or a plan D. We've got Jesus or nothing, but Jesus is enough. The Spirit here tonight wants to touch and transform lives. As you have received him, as you have allowed him to minister to you, I pray online and here that you will have a growing sense of courage about the name of Jesus. I pray that his name will heal you. I pray that his name will save you. I pray that his name will confront the darkness in you. I pray that his name will empower you. And I call you to lay down your fear, to lay down your barriers, to lay down your opposition, and to let Jesus touch you. And tonight, without shouting, I declare his name over sickness. I declare his name over sin. I declare his name over the strongholds in our lives. I declare his name over you, over your family, over what you are going home to tonight.